Welcome to the Empathy Exchange podcast, the show dedicated to helping seniors care staff and residents' families build relational connections based on trust, respect, and understanding as partners in care. To work together in the shared goal of providing the best possible quality of life and care for people living in seniors care, your residents and loved ones. So if you work in seniors care or you're a family member, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Deborah Bakhti. Welcome back to the Empathy Exchange podcast. I'm so excited to introduce two of my guests today for our conversation that's going to give you some really great insights on how to build the empathy exchange between staff and families in seniors care. My first guest is Kristen Leal, and Kristen is the Director of Programs at People Care Delhi, where she's worked in that role for 3 years. She has a degree with honors in recreational therapy and a minor in psychology, and has had training with the Behavioral Science Technician Program. Kristen is a proud Delhi native and a proud People Care team member.
Hi.
Just to tell you a little bit about People Care, People Care Communities is a Canadian family-owned, mission-driven, leading operator of senior living communities with strong values and a 55-year history of service. One of People Care's 7 long-term care homes is Delhi Long-Term Care. And People Care's vision is to change the world of senior living, and their mission is to create beautiful, caring communities for life-enriching experiences for their residents, families, and everyone touched by their services. My next guest is Anita, and Anita is also a Delhi local. Anita's mom has been a resident at People Care Delhi since October 2022. Anita and her husband, Bill, are both active family council members, which we're going to hear a bit more about. And they also volunteer and assist in their mom's long-term care home, building friendships and community with other families, residents, and staff. Welcome, Anita and Kristen.
Hello.
Thank you so much.
Great to have you here. Anita, you've been a family member in the People Care Delhi community for just over a year now. I would love it if you could share with our listeners a little bit about your journey into long-term care with your mom.
Certainly. It started actually back in 2020. My husband retired in February of 2020, and we had plans to make a trip from BC to Ontario to come and visit mom. And then, of course, as we all know, COVID hit and travel stopped for 2 years. And then when that was over, we thought, great, we'll come in 2022 in June when all the weather clears up. And at the end of 2021, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So there was another delay. So at that time, I still was in quite a bit of communication with my mom. And when I would talk to her on the phone, I started noticing subtle differences, like she would start repeating herself a lot. And I thought at first it was COVID that had a lot to do with it. You know, being lonely and at home by herself, because my dad had passed quite a number of years ago. She was telling me, I can't have my friends over. I can't go anywhere. When I go to church, they make you go in one door and you have to go out the other door. You can't sit anywhere. So I started noticing little differences like that. And then because I live in BC, my mom had to have a power of attorney here. And she was a wonderful lady and still is. She would come and look after my mom, take her to doctor's appointments and whatnot. And I was starting to get a lot more phone calls from her saying, you know, your mom's doing this and that. And then my cousin, who is in construction, came to do her bathroom, fix it up. And about a day or two later, I got a call from my cousin and said, what's going on with your mom? And I said, well, what do you mean? She says, well, we were over there doing her bathroom and she had coffee for us. And she started talking about the fires in BC and how everybody there has cancer because of the fires and they're all lining up for treatment. And we had floods out in Abbotsford too, that you probably heard about on the news. And they said the water was at your front door. And I said, oh, really? This is interesting. So I started worrying about my mom quite a bit and I couldn't get here. I was still under active treatment. So as the time went on, I had one phone call with her, lasted 3 hours. she repeated herself and kept saying, oh, you know, they say I'm forgetting things, but it's only because I'm old. You know, when are you coming? And 3 hours later, I finally had to say, Mom, I really need to go. I need to have something to eat. I need to go to the washroom, take my medication. And she says, I'll make you a sandwich. And she put the phone down and walked away. That's when I knew I was in big trouble. Mm-hmm. And there was, being so far away, there was nothing I could do. So this was probably early in 2022. And eventually by fall in September, I got the go ahead, I could travel. So I called the POA and told her, you know, we're going to come out. We only went for a little over a week because that was all I could fit in between my treatments. She said, okay, I will make an appointment for when you guys are here to have somebody come in and assess her to see if she can go into long-term care because she really needs it. So we did that. We came in September. The assessment was done. And from the very first question, they asked her, what season is it? She said, spring. And it was fall. So I thought already right there, I said, she's not going to pass this. And a couple of questions into it, the lady went around the table and the POA was there. She points and she says, who's this? That's Linda. She points at my husband. That's Bill. She points at me and says, who's that? And I could see Mom looking at me and she says, I don't know. So right then and there, my heart sank. It was devastating. It was really devastating. She didn't know who I was. So we were there for the 10 days. And after that, of course, they said, yes, we're going to put her on the list for long-term care. Of course, I went home crying and my husband says, don't worry about it. It's probably because you look different. You have a wig on and maybe she doesn't recognize you. You do look a little different than you did before. You used to have curly hair. So we went back home to BC about a month later. I got a call from the POA, said, your mom was brought home by the police today. She went out wandering. And it wasn't just once, it was twice. Luckily, we live in a small town and there's very nice people here who saw her looking lost and took care of her instead of just letting her go wherever. Ironically enough, the very next day, there was a worker coming in to see her. The POW, Linda, came early in the morning and she says, I noticed your mom had some stains on her shirt. And when she turned sideways, there was blood coming out of her ear. So she had fallen, apparently. She didn't know how, she didn't know where or anything. And right then, that's when the worker walked in and saw all of this, heard about the day before, about her wandering, and said, you need to take her to the hospital and get her ear fixed up. And of course, she said, I'll move her up on the long-term care list. Within about a week and a half, we got a call. They have a spot for her. Do you want to take it? And I said, yes, I do. And of course, this is where all the guilt and anxiety and all of that starts coming up. In October, we made another trip back here. We scheduled it for 5 days. We came in on a Thursday night. We didn't stay at Mom's because we didn't want to upset her. Came in Friday morning at 9 o'clock, said, hi, Mom, surprise, my doctor let me come and see you again. And we said, she knew some people in the long-term care homes. And we told her that one of her friends there wanted to see her. Would you want to go visit? And she said, yes. And that's how we made it easy for her to go to the home. So the three of us got her in the car, took her to the home, took her to the room where her friend Andrea was. And we kind of slowly backed out of the room. My excuse was, I need to go to the washroom, and Linda was going to show me where it was. And we kind of left her there like that. We were there maybe a total of an hour, did a little paperwork. I walked out and I lost it. Mm-hmm. You know, I was into tears. So I guess that's where kind of my story ends as far as how we got her in there. And I didn't read your book until probably the following year in about July when we had moved back. We ended up moving back to Ontario, I should say, and started visiting Mom. And I saw Kirsten in the hall that way there the one day. And she says to me, you should really come to family council. Here's a book that you can read. And she gave me that. I went home and read it. And I went, oh my God, I wish I would have had this book before Mom even went in there. So I kind of wrote down that like the first three, the seven A's, the first three of them are pretty well my journey into the home. And then from there, it carries on.
Talk about an emotional journey that you went through. Never mind what was going on in your own personal life dealing with a cancer diagnosis and treatment. And I think that's, you know, when you think about the empathy exchange with staff and families and residents in seniors care, we all have stuff going on that impacts our ability to be able to navigate through all of the emotions. And, you know, when you mentioned about the day that you left your mom there and you fell apart afterwards, I'm curious what your narrative or your perception was about long-term care then. And part two of the question is, now that you're a year and a bit into it, what do you really now know about long-term care and your experience?
I didn't know nothing about long-term care, to tell you the truth. When I took her in there, I just thought it's a place when there's all sorts of people there in wheelchairs, and I really don't know what happens there. They medicate them, and you know, they feed them once in a while, I guess, and they put them to bed, get them up in the morning. I really had not too much of a clue, even though once mom was diagnosed, I read a lot of things about dementia, which my mom has, but it doesn't really tell you what happens in long-term care. So when we actually moved back and I started visiting there, it was a different story. I started seeing what the people were doing, and I started seeing the level of care that she had. And then I started hearing from other people when they asked me, oh, how's your mom? Where is she? And I told her where she was. Oh, that's a great place. You know, I love that place. They really look after them there. I was at my doctor's the other day, and the nurse there said, oh, I used to work there. That's a great place. So I started hearing that sort of stuff, and I started relaxing more. And like I say, once I read this book and started figuring out that you're not just going to a long-term care home, it's your new family, and you interact with the staff, you interact with the residents. And that's exactly when I changed my mindset. And my husband read it as well, and he changed his mindset, and he started coming to a family council with me. And it's made a world of difference. We go in there and make a point of saying hi to the care staff. I make it a point to try and figure out who these residents are, whether they have anybody that ever come and to visit them. And we sit with them and we talk with them, because my mom, she sleeps a lot, I must admit. So when she's sleeping, we'll see somebody else in the room and say, hey, come and sit with us and talk with us.
Yeah.
And it's made a world of difference for me. But the staff, extraordinary, extraordinary. I even went to the point where I sent them a poem one day, because this book made me think, you gotta commit. You gotta be involved. And this is the reason we moved back, so we could be with her. I'm an only child, so there's nobody else to go visit her either. So I kind of threw myself right into it. We go in the summertime, we went on a lot of picnics, which is just a couple blocks down the road, and we wheel mom over there, and they set up a beautiful picnic for the staff or for all the residents. And my husband always goes along, and he'll have somebody else to push, you know, another resident that doesn't have a family member to push them there. So we went on the walk for wellness. That was fun. And, you know, all sorts of things. So we try and involve ourselves as much as we can. And now I realize that long-term care is not at all what I thought it was. It's a very special place. I don't know if they're all like that, but where my mom is and Kirsten, she's awesome. Awesome.
Well, thank you. And that's a great segue to Kristen. I also want to mention, Anita, that I am going to ask you to read a few paragraphs of your poem before we sign off this podcast episode, because it's lovely and people need to hear it. And I'll also include the full poem with your permission in the show notes for this podcast episode.
No problem.
Anita, you brought tears to my eyes. Oh, my goodness.
I'll come and hug you later.
So Kristen, you're in your role of director of programs. I call people that work in your role the fun people in seniors care, right? Because the coordinating activities and that emotional, physical stimulation, that's so important. And as you were listening to Anita's story, besides the tears, what was coming to mind for you and that shift from how she didn't know what she didn't know prior to and where she's at now, because I'm assuming you've seen this this evolution and her role as a community member at PeopleCare Delhi?
Absolutely. Well, to begin, I love that you call us the fun people, because when I do an admission, that's the first thing I introduce myself as. I always say, hi, my name is Kristen. I'm the director of program, loudest person in the building. You could always find me. But going back to your question, I just think that seeing and listening to Anita, her story, listening to the fears of coming into long-term care, especially with the fact that she wasn't in Ontario. It's hard enough going into a long-term care home with a loved one when you're there, let alone to be elsewhere and putting that in the hands of a loved one or another family member that you trust. But I think Anita said it perfect when she said that people don't know what long-term care is all about. So they have these fears and these anxieties, and then hopefully they get there and they realize that it's really not as scary or as awful as they put it to be. But long-term care is a complex system with lots of unknowns for new families, new staff members. It can be scary. And I think that utilizing the book that the Now What book, and having the book club and reading your book and your experiences and your insights, you help us ensure that people know that these experiences to make LTC more understanding and more friendly. I think that this book, like Anita said, they took the time to be more involved, to be getting to know more residents, get to know the staff. And I think from my perspective, I also do the same thing. I'm trying to look out for new families when they come into the home. Oh, read this book, check out this family club that we have. So I think that it just allows us to find that like common ground between staff and families, and then that fear of coming into long-term care. Because hopefully it's really not that scary of an experience for people to come.
Well, and it goes back to what we've talked about before, the narratives that families can have about long-term care based on media. And we know Absolutely. That media wasn't the friend of seniors care, particularly through COVID. So we're not saying that they're unwarranted, but it's based on misconceptions.
Absolutely. Misconceptions, but also the fact that it's long-term care. You're taking your loved one that you've spent your time with in the community. They lived at home. They've been in that local community and thriving. And now you're taking them to a long-term care home. That can be very distressful, not just for the resident, obviously, for the family, and not just immediate family, your larger perspective, your family as well. But there's so many misconceptions that when people come in and they have the opportunity to read this book and to experience this book club, we can openly talk about, wow, I can't believe I thought long-term care was X, but really it's Y.
Well, and I think it's also what you're describing, and I hear this with your perspective, Anita. It really can be what you want to make it out to be. It sounds to me like you have, coming from BC, now you're living in Delhi, you have immersed yourself in the PeopleCare Delhi community, and you're a leader in that community, and a bit of that paying it forward for new families coming in that are also feeling uncertain, scared, feeling guilt, grief, worry, because I think, and this is, I think, part, Kristen, what you were getting at is we know that it's a suboptimal situation. People want to age in place at home. And then when the reality is apparent that your loved one requires a higher level of support, that it can be also more than that. It's that building of that community. I understand with PeopleCare that you have a family caregiver resource, and there's actually a whole philosophy around that. And I just wanted to touch base on that. And then we can talk a little bit more about some of the things that you're doing that supports this family caregiver resource philosophy.
Absolutely. So in PeopleCare, our vision is to change the world of senior living. And I think that is an incredible mindset to set for every single staff member that comes into our doors. I believe that my job as the director of programs, being in that home, chatting with families and residents, getting their experiences, is an opportunity for me to create that family caregiver program even better. So my job is to work with families as they're our care partners. We make this program to be very resident-centered, because we know the importance of family and visitors coming into the home. Not only social visits, but care visits. We see the benefits of families being in the home, of your friends being in the home. We see that through the meaningful experiences that these residents have, the quality of life when the residents have their families in the home. So I think my important job is just being that collaboration with families and taking education from ministry, education from our policies at PeopleCare, listening to what families want, listening to what they need, and then tying that back to that resident-centered care and bringing it full circle and bringing those families into the home. I think it's one of the most wonderful feelings in the world to connect families back with their loved ones. It means so much.
If you'd like to learn more about the work that I do in providing staff training, family training, or if you're also looking to redesign your admission process, you can find me at deborahbakhti.com. And you can email me at deborah@deborahbakhti.com, and all that information will be in the show notes. Let's talk about this book club that you've created and established. And how did it start and how is it going?
Absolutely wonderful is how it's going. How it started was I was searching the web, you know, as you do, looking for fresh ideas. I was really trying to strengthen and create our family council, especially after coming out of the pandemic. PeopleCare Delhi has always had a family council, but it's been smaller or minuscule. So I really wanted to find a way to amp it up and to really bring back our families in full blown. So I was just scrolling on the Residents Council Association website, and I saw your beautiful face, Deb, and I read the book, Now What? Managing the Emotions of Long-Term Care. And I said, what's this all about? So I brought it in. I purchased it on Amazon. I was so excited. I read the book. I watched all the videos that you had done with them on YouTube. And then I found out that you had a whole book club experience. And then you and I, through the technology world, we got connected, and I was really motivated and inspired by your personal story, your work history, and I wanted to run a book club. So I believe we started in June or July of last year in 2023. And I just started it off with a whim. We were lucky through PeopleCare to collaborate with Deborah. She had sent us some books, so I was able to start a book club. And I believe I started with about 10 books. I have no books left on my shelf right now. Every single one is rented out, even my personal one that I purchased. From there, I took your cue deck. You had some wonderful conversation starters for this book club. So I sat down. I pretty much just introduced this book to families and I just put it on the table. I said, if you want to read it, great. If you don't, it's not forced. I just thought it was a really great opportunity and resource. From there, families took it, some didn't. And then we just started our bi-monthly meetings. And every other month, we would go through chapters 1 to 3, 3 to 4, depending on how much time, how much we talked. These sessions were so much fun. They went from one day we're laughing, one day I have tears in my eyes, the next day we're angry, the next day we're laughing again, just going through all the emotions of long-term care. And I think the coolest part, and I've said this before, I'll say it again until I am blue in the face, is that this book has helped families like Anita, new families who have just come to our home within the last year or so, but also the opportunity to help families that have been in our home for a long time. We had residents, families in our council group. They've been family members in our home for 5, 6, 7 years. 7 years of being in a long-term care home. You think, you know, you get the hang of it, of course. That becomes your new routine. But the things that they learned from your book and that they wish they knew when they first came in is incredible. The stories that we hear, and even the stories like through Anita, now that she's read the book and she's connecting with other families in our home, new families, older families, it's really awesome to see in our home. Truly, it's amazing.
So Anita, as a family member participating, you're on the family council, and I understand that the book club sessions are done during family council meetings every other month. What's your experience hearing other family stories, and what really stands out for you in these conversations?
You know, when I first started going there, I was, you know, when you start a book club or go to any meeting, you're kind of, you know, the shy person sitting in the back. You don't say too much. And then all of a sudden, there was about three or four women at, I think, the first one I went to, and they started telling their stories. And I thought, every one of these has a totally different story. So I blurted out mine, too. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm sitting up and listening to all of this. And like Kirsten said, there were times when we were laughing and there was times when we were crying, and people were saying things like, there's a portion in the book when we were talking about family flavors.
Yes.
And how, you know, the salt and pepper, the sweet and savory. And then there's the jalapeno. And one of the ladies, and I'm sure Crystal will remember who it is, spoke up and said, I was a jalapeno, and I can tell you exactly when and where. And we laughed and we giggled, and, you know, it was just the way you can open up and release some of your feelings that you had about long-term care or how it all works. And you could see the relief coming out of people's bodies. You know, they started relaxing after the laughing and the giggling. So it's just such a great way for people to really understand what long-term care is, and the family dynamic changes in there. So you start, like I say, you start feeling like you're part of that family. You're not just a visitor in a long-term care home. And now I've got to the point where when I see new families in there, I'll make a point. I don't care. I'll go up and talk to them and say, hey, you heard about our family council, right? I said, you really should go. There's a lot of good information, and we've got a book club. And actually, not that long ago, I ran into an old friend of mine whose mom has just been placed in that home. And I ran to Kirsten and said, do you have one of those books left? And she goes, no, they're all gone. You know, it's like, I said, we really need to get some more of those, you know. So it's almost like I've become part of the team there. And I'm recruiting for Kirsten. And we were laughing because I had talked to somebody. They couldn't come to family council. But I said, you know, when I was in BC, I did a Zoom call, and she says, well, I can do that because I'm working, but I can still do a Zoom call. So I went and let Kirsten know that somebody was interested in family council, and could you send her a link to a Zoom call? And Kirsten was all excited. She's going, we're into double digits now in our club. So it's, you know, I feel like a recruiter for Kirsten now.
You really have been. And it's been awesome, truly. Like, just listening to the way that you talk about the book club and share with other families has been so awesome. But going back to what you just said about the flavor profiles and that conversation when somebody admitted, oh, I've been a jalapeno. And we say it in a silly way. We're laughing. We're being silly. But the fact that families are feeling safe and secure, that they can share those emotions, is all that matters to me. At the end of the day, And I think Anita can agree, is that at the beginning of every single session, I always remind families it's a safe place to share your emotions, to share how you feel. This information's not going anywhere, unless it's something we could do better in our home, obviously. That's the whole point of doing family council. But the opportunity to share your emotions and be free is such a beautiful and freeing moment and feeling. I am so happy that that's what you as a family member are feeling. And then I love to hear that you feel like you're part of the team. Because at the end of the day, like I said earlier, we are all care partners in care. We are all partners in care for the one person that we care about, that family member, that resident, those people that we're there for. So I'm very happy to hear that you feel like a part of the team.
Well, like I say, it's come to the point where my husband's on board too. He goes in there, and my mom always has cold hands, so he's always warming her hands up. And there was a lady sitting next to us one day. She looks at him and says, my hands are cold too. And so he went over and warmed her hands up, and she was all excited, and she pulled his hand up and gave it a kiss and everything. So just the warmth, you know, from all the other residents. And at one point we were sitting and talking with a friend had come along. We were sitting and talking with mom, and a couple of the other residents saw us sitting in the little group, and they just naturally came over. They brought a chair. They sat down with us. So we all talked together. And when it was time to go, they all wanted to give us a hug before we left. And I had no clue who these people were yet, but now I know who they are because we made it a point. And every time we come in the home, it's like, hello, so-and-so, and hello, so-and-so. I'm not going to mention any names because I don't want to embarrass them. But yeah, it's like, you know, like when you go to work and you're saying hi to everybody when you first come in the morning. So it's kind of like that for me, you know?
Well, and I think what I tend to hear from families is this perception that they're alone and they're the only one that's gone through this experience. And it sounds like, Anita, you had a similar experience with that.
Oh, very much.
And it's and what's so interesting about that is that you think, well, logically, how could that be? Because there's every single day somebody is moving into long-term care. And yet it feels like this missing piece of not openly talking about it. Maybe we don't want to center ourselves out or feel like if I say to somebody I'm struggling with this, they're going to judge me for that. And I think the idea of having a book club that it can foster a conversation that is a real relational, human, deep emotional revealing of ourselves. And as you say, Kristen, in a safe place. Because I also think that people who've not ever had a loved one living in a seniors care environment, they don't get it and they can't get it because they've never experienced it. And so in essence, you're developing a community of colleagues that have had different but similar experiences. And there's that empathy between families that can be fostered.
Absolutely.
And Anita, do you find that in the conversations, you know, when we're thinking about the empathy exchange and having empathy for the staff and their experiences in providing the care, what's come up for you since now that you're a seasoned 1 year plus community member at People Care Delhi?
Well, the staff there is wonderful no matter what. It's just I didn't see it at first. I thought they were just, you know, nurses and PSWs and whatnot. But, you know, you got to stop and think these people have lives, too. They come to work and maybe they've got problems at home, but they don't bring them into the home. They treat the people the same way every time. And, you know, you probably read it in my poem there somewhere. Sometimes we come in and we're sitting in the lounge and there'll be one person sitting there, you know, looking very upset or not very happy, and a staff member walks in, they walk over to them, they place their hand on their wrist, and you know, they talk to them, and you can see the care coming out of them, and all of a sudden the person looks up and looks at them and they'll say, come on, where's that smile of yours, you know, we know you've got a big smile in there. And that person all of a sudden comes out of it, got a big smile, and then away they go and they go on to the next person. So the staff and I actually have started to connect a little more too. When I come in, I know their names. I know most of their names. I shouldn't say all of them yet, but if I know their names, I'll say, hi, how's it going? And, you know, you having a good day today. So it changed my outlook on their work and what they have to do and how busy they are. And they're going from one room to the other. It never, ever stops, you know? So I've got nothing but good things to say about the staff there. I know when I went and seen Kristen the other day, I had a book for her to look at and she was so busy, she didn't even have time to flip the first page open. So, you know, and then I came back and she was gone off doing something else. And, you know, sometimes I'll take mom like a pair of socks and I'll say, you need to label this for mom. And okay, yeah, we'll take that. And off they go with that. And it's just, it's a well-oiled machine in there, I must say, you know, and you can see it when you go into the home. You don't see it at first. You think it's just all this, what's going on in here? People are moving around and there's people sitting here and people walking there. How do they know? They know everybody's name. It's like, it's amazing. It really is. And I took the time to notice what was going on. Maybe not every family does that. They come in, they sit there, then they go home or they hide in a corner and they're 5 minutes. And I know a lot of residents have no visitors, and those are the ones that I try and sort of take under my wing, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
and spend a little bit of time with them.
I think that's a great segue. I'd love for you to share some of your poem that, and I just love the title of it, I See What You Do.
Okay, so I guess I should explain what this is. After reading the book and getting a little more involved in what's going on and seeing what's going on in there, I decided these people need to be sort of know what's going on and how I feel about what they do for my mom and all the other residents. So I wrote to the staff at Delhi Long-Term Care. It has become apparent to me you need to be told, I see what you do. When I come for a visit and step inside, you greet me with a smile. I see what you do. When I walk down the halls, you work with such passion. I've seen it from you before. I see what you do. Your hours are long. You're always on your feet. You must be exhausted. I see what you do. You come to your job, leave your problems behind, become part of a new family. I see what you do. The residents are dressed, bathed, and fed. I see what you do. When someone is blue, I see you put your hand on their arm. You whisper or tell them a joke. They are no longer blue. I see what you do. You know all their names, their likes and dislikes. I see what you do. A calendar listing all the events, entertainment for residents, family, and friends. I see what you do. Meals are prepared 3 times a day. The dishes are endless. They don't stop all day. I see what you do. The laundry is washed, it's dried, and then sorted. A sock may be lost. There's nothing you can do. Because just like the dishes, it's endless too. I see what you do. The meds are dispensed with accuracy and care. I can see that when I am there. I see what you do. The cleaning is done and maintenance too. I see what you do. So this is why I have to say, I truly appreciate everything you do, and you need to be told, I see what you do.
It's beautiful. How does that feel, Kristen, just hearing that?
I came to work, I think it was a Friday morning, and I had this on my desk and it just said Anita Friesen on it. And I was like, okay. So I opened it up, I read it, and it was beautiful. Like, there was no other way to put it other than beautiful. The fact that she touched every single staff member in our home, all the departments, housekeeping, cleaning, the kitchen, recreation, the nurses, the PSWs, everybody has a part in our home. Every single person touches every resident, every family member in our people care community. And it's just wonderful to know that you're seen, you're heard. As staff members, we're trying to do our best and we're always trying to go above and beyond for our residents. So the fact that a family member not only sees that, but the fact that she went ahead and wrote something about it and sent that to our staff was absolutely beautiful. It's still hanging to this day in our staff room, and it's still also hanging to this day in my office.
It's such a beautiful example of the empathy exchange right there.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Well, this has been a great conversation. I love the energy of the two of you. I can tell that you're partners in care and maybe partners in crime. I don't know. But it's building community and connection during a time that you could say there was probably not a time that you woke up one morning and said, boy, I wish that I can put my mom into long-term care because I don't want to have to deal with, right? It just doesn't happen. And yet you've turned a suboptimal situation and a challenge, and with everything that you've personally gone through as well, Anita, I just want to say thank you so much for just using your presence in the home, partnering with Kristen, and making a difference and paying it forward for all the new families that are going to become a part of your community.
Thank you. It's sort of, it's almost like a healing for me as well to be, you know, when you're in a situation like I am, I'm still going actively through it. I'm going into year 3, and I found that my best medicine is my own positivity and doing things for others. You know, giving is better than receiving sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also ran into a gentleman that his mom was in the same home. And he visited there all the time. He helped out with the residents. And now his mom passed away last year. And he still goes there and volunteers and helps out at the home. And I know Kristen, you know who that is.
Absolutely.
And we sort of become friends with him. And I sometimes think, you know, there's going to come a time when my mom's no longer in that home as well. And if I'm still in good shape and still around, I may do the same thing. You know, that's how much the whole experience has touched me. So I just may go that same route that he has, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you might not get rid of me that easily.
Great. Perfect. Amazing.
Any final words of wisdom, Kristen?
My final words of wisdom, truly at the end of the day, it's just, I am so thankful for your book, Deb. I am so grateful for the work that you do alongside with us through People Care. I'm so excited to see what you're going to bring up for us this year in 2024 as we collaborate with you and through People Care. I'm so excited to finish the book in our book club and family council this year and wrap it up. And then maybe in our family council, we can start your next book.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again for being such great guests and sharing your story and your experiences. And I think there's a few tears that will be shed listening to this podcast episode. And remember, there's power in your presence. So make your presence matter.